You know, it's a exciting time to be living in, that we possibly are the generation to see the return of the Lord. But more importantly, all the preparation is being done with the revivals going on at the colleges. And we were blessed to take a group of folks to the theater last Saturday night to see the Jesus Revolution. And it was based on something that happened back in the early 70s while I was still more of a heathen than I am now. And I remember some of that, and I remember Chuck Smith and Calvary Chapel, and I don't know, it's just a lot of good memories that became a part of my return to the Lord. And it was just, it's a good movie. I pray for everybody to go and see it. But the preparation that's taking place for the return of the Lord is fascinating. The revival, the spirit of renewal. And this week, I talked about in my message about being born of the Spirit. But more importantly, what this time is and the renewal that's gone on is really and truly about salvation. And I think many of us have heard the phrase, born again. In fact, that's what I'm talking about in my message, born of the Spirit. But we've all heard the phrase, I think, born again, and which is commonly known as the process of salvation. But imagine what Jesus' words must have sounded like to Nicodemus. And we had always assumed that the way to God's kingdom was through strict adherence to the numerous and complex codes of Jewish law. Now, we've drifted way far away, the Jewish people did, from the original Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, by the way, has not gone away. They are still in order. It's a common sense rule of law, so to speak, from God Himself. But Jesus told that all they had to do was to be born again. They didn't have to worry about all those rules that the Jewish rabbis and the Pharisees and the Sadducees put upon them. And Jesus told them all they had to do was be born again. Who ever heard of such a thing? Wow. Well, the analogy is profound. A physical birth, as Nicodemus said, well, how can I go back into my mama's womb? A physical birth takes place in blood, pain, and unparalleled joy. Also in the spiritual rebirth. Now, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, the blood is the blood of Christ. The pain is the confession of sin. And the joy is the assurance of eternal life. Well, as the doctor said one time after delivering another child, he said, every one of these is a miracle. Amen to that. You're a miracle. I'm a miracle. I don't know which doctor delivered you, and I certainly don't know which one delivered me, but I like that doctor that said, every one of these is a miracle. You see, God is waiting to bring about a miraculous spiritual birth in each and every one of us. Now, if you haven't considered it, what it means to be born again, I challenge you to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you and to help you understand what it means to be born of the Spirit. Because when you accept Christ in your life, you don't get Him in pieces, you get Him all. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And He wants to be invited in your life. God will never force Himself upon you to say, well, you got to love me. Look what I did for you. No, God wants you to love Him because you love Him and you want to love Him. And how that comes about is through the Spirit of being born again. God's Spirit touches our spirit. You know, we are body, soul, and spirit. We're a triune being, just like God is through Christ is a triune being. Because we are body, fleshly body. We are spirit, God's Spirit connecting with our spirit, and soul, which is our intellect. And so it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And in John 3:16, which is a very familiar passage, for God so loved the world that He gave, will not perish but have eternal life. What a promise. And that in 17 it says, and God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. Imagine that person that you love most is on the verge of death. Doctors, nurses keep constant vigil, watching, and those beating machines, beep, 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 monitoring blood pressure, checking tubes. I think we've all been there in the hospital with a loved one to make sure that nothing is blocked and monitored us. Well, what would you give to keep this loved one alive? And how much would you sacrifice to have a normal life with him or her, laughing, talking, sharing? So if your love is strong and genuine for that person, you would give it all. I think that we would. It's human nature. We want to give it all to help somebody. It comes naturally to us. Well, this is exactly what God did for us. Sin put us on the verge of death. So God, in his marvelous love and grace, gave up his only son so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. The great sacrificial gift of the foundation of our renewed relationship with God, which was broken back in the garden. It's one of the most popular Bible verses I know, because it's one that I first memorized when we used to read scripture in school, and we would get up in front of the class and read a scripture of the day. It's one that I was able to memorize, and at the time I didn't know why, but as I got later in life, I understood why I was able to memorize it. For God so loved Ralphie that he gave up his only son, that if you would only believe, Ralphie, you will not perish but have eternal life. What a wonderful, wonderful gift of giving. The sacrificial gift is the foundation of our renewed relationship with God. Jesus and John in John's Gospel is not only showing us how to receive salvation, but he's also telling us the secret to the deep love of sacrificial giving. Think about this. If there's something that maybe you have or something you do that is keeping you from giving or accepting the love of God and others, just play a prayer of repentance and say, Lord, I want to repent of that, and I want to give you a chance, not a chance, but a opportunity would be a best way to say it, to come into my life with the love of God and help me not only love God, but help others and forgive my sin. My prayer is that if we give all that up, you would actually then forfeit both life and love. But, I love the buts. If Christ is allowed to come into your heart and to be able to experience what we call reconciliation, you know, God in Scripture said that Jesus has been reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. What a wonderful message, amen? But think about this, even in our own day and time with all the politics and all the relationships and all of that crazy stuff. Those relationships and trust and everything has been broken. We need reconciliation. Now, all reconciliation is to assume that a relationship has been broken, maybe a husband, wife, father, and son. I know my relationship with my son has been broken, and I want to hold out the hand of reconciliation and hope and pray that he can come and accept the gift of love of Christ in his life, and that him and I can be reconciled. Now, I'm not going to agree with everything that he says or done or everything like that, but you know, if we are reconciled, we have something in common. That chasm that threatens the survival of the spoken word. And the reconciliation becomes possible because the first move, the hand that extended, a phone call, a word spoken in forgiveness. I know that I'm not the only one who has a son or a family member that has been separated by crazy stuff in this world. But the Bible, you know, I don't know how this is going to work or not work, but as I was in the middle of talking about reconciliation, we had a power surge, and voila, we got disconnected. Well, that's really a little bit about reconciliation, isn't it? That now we've been reconciled with the power company. The power company came in, the computer started back up, and now we have reconciliation. Well, I digress, but I hope and pray that you got something out of my little thoughts this morning. And I hope that we get to see you in church sometime soon. That's always good. There's a lot of issues going on in our country, and we always close this segment with thoughts and prayers. And we always like to look at, and now we haven't had one in a long time, but we had a prayer request Sunday that was put in the offering plate. And the prayer request came from Linda Sassine, and the request was for her nephew, Darren Plate, P-L-A-T-E is his name, and also for his parents. He has some issues and some unspoken issues. Well, we just pray that God's Spirit will somehow touch his spirit, and he will know where to reach out for help, and to reach out through the grace and the love of God through the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, I did a little series some time ago about hurts, hang-ups, and habits. Not all of us are alcoholics, not all of us are druggies, but we all have hurts, hang-ups, and habits. And that's why it's so important that we do pray for one another and to lift up one another. But I always say, and you've heard me say it before, you don't need a preacher. You don't need anybody. No 800 number, anything like that, email address. You can go directly to God and cry out in Jesus' name, Daddy, I need to talk to you. Help me with my situation that I have and come into my life and be Lord over it. That's what happened on the cross when Jesus gave up the ghost. And that veil in the temple was in the Old Testament Jewish days, they had a veil in the temple that prevented the common people from going into the Holy of Holies. Only the priest could go. But when Jesus died on the cross, that veil was rent in two, signifying that we had direct access to God through Jesus Christ. What a joy. So with that, we always close with the Lord's Prayer. And if you ever have anything that you want to talk about or anything, give me a call or Phil or send a note. But we thank God that we're able to bring you these online services. As we close this segment with the prayer Jesus taught. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the power, the kingdom, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And we thank God for modern technology, electrical and computers and all that. And when that connection was broke, it was restored through the act of reconciliation. Now, it's in the physical sense, I know, but that's what happens in the spiritual sense when you reconnect to God and seek his grace, love, and forgiveness in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful day.